Alrighty, good morning everyone. Thank you for coming. I'm going to pray and then we can get started. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time we get to dive into the topic of foster care and adoption. Thank you for blessing us immensely through this in our own life, and we look forward to sharing what you have done in our life through this and educating the church in this so that if others are feeling called to this, they may also know the path forward. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for adopting us, or God, thank you for adopting us into your family, and help us to now live in light of the gospel in whatever way you're calling us to with regards to foster care and adoption. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, to get us started, I want to read two quotes. My brother Noah actually sent this to me on the morning that we have adopted Scarlett a few weeks ago. Since God has a son of his own and such a son, how wonderful God's love in adopting us. We needed a father, but he did not need sons. That's from Thomas Watson. And R.C. Sproul says, Jesus gave us the incomparable privilege of calling God Father. So I want to read a few verses from Scripture about what the Bible has to say in God's heart towards orphans. Psalm says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation, or his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. And again, defend the cause of the weak and fatherless, maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Proverbs says, speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Jesus, in Matthew 25, says, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And finally, in James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So it's clear that God our Father has adopted us, and he cares for the fatherless, for the orphan, and so that's what this ministry has been founded on. So Grace Bible Church has a mission statement. Grace Bible Church exists to make, mature, and multiply disciples of Jesus Christ for the glory of God here and around the world. And so this ministry seeks to go into that. So in terms of make, we want to support Grace families in adopting or fostering children who will teach and model the gospel every day to those children. What better way to evangelize someone than to bring them into your home for months or years and get to model the gospel for them and share the gospel with them. In terms of maturing, we want to teach families about the doctrine of adoption and how they are acting as God's family when they support the physical adoption of children. And multiply, we want a church culture where adoption and fostering are commonplace, supported, and celebrated. Well, hopefully more families will want to also adopt and foster. There are four key components of this ministry. Spiritual, that comes from the preaching and counseling, primarily from the elders. The two main points we're going to hit on today, educational and financial. I'll just quickly pause here. When I've talked to people about fostering and adoption, the two main reasons that they do not want to or aren't going to is they don't know where to start. There's too many questions, too many unknowns. And then secondly, I can't afford it. It's $30,000 to $50,000. They hear that, say, I can't afford that. And so they just move on without anything more. So we're going to hit primarily on these two today. The education on the process of foster care and adoption, of getting licensed, and then connecting you, helping you understand people who have already done it so that if you have more questions, you can follow up. And then the financial, our church has an adoption fund, and so I want to get to some more later details on that. And then community, want to let you know that there's a support network of people who have been through this before and that understand what you're going through, and therefore, if you have questions, you can go to them. So, very quick, here's our agenda for today. I just went to the intro and ministry philosophy. We're going to spend most of the time on the education for both foster care and adoption, as well as private adoption. I'll talk about the financial part with the adoption fund, some ways that you can get involved, a couple FAQs, and then Q&A. If you have questions, you can interrupt me. I'm pretty much right on time for amount of content, but if I said something that's confusing, please stop me, and I'd love to answer and clarify it. So to define some terms, yeah, I'm just going to read these. I think this is probably the best way to get clear on the difference of foster care and adoption. So foster care is a temporary, court-ordered, or state-supervised system providing 24-hour substitute care for children who cannot safely live with their birth parents due to abuse, neglect, or other safety concerns. It's designed to be a temporary, safe environment, such as with relatives, foster families, which is probably what you would be, or group homes, with the primary goal of reuniting children with their families. So foster care, the primary goal is to reunite them. There might be an option for adoption, but the primary goal when entering is to reunite the children. As opposed to adoption, adoption is the legal and permanent process by which an adult assumes full parental rights and responsibilities for a child, completely severing those of the biological parents, and it legally establishes a parent-child relationship that functions identically to a biological one, granting the adoptee the same rights and inheritance status. So this is the highest level and as few words as I can get for comparing the difference between foster care and adoption. on private adoption specifically. So on the left, foster care is temporary. That's the primary goal, as I mentioned, with higher uncertainty. There may be an opportunity for adoption, but that's a minority of cases. And so the whole time it's uncertain because it all depends on when the birth parents, the judge deems the birth parents able to take the child back, lots of uncertainty. Whereas with private adoption, it's more permanent and there's lower uncertainty. With foster care, you're working through the state of New Jersey, DCF, the Department of Children and Families. Whereas with private adoption, you're working with a private adoption agency of your choice. The cost of foster care, everything is free, and you're actually paid a monthly stipend when there's a child in placement, versus private adoption, which is $30,000 to $50,000 plus, which covers things like home studies, legal fees, paperwork, counseling, and birth mom living expenses. Both have a similar paperwork and timelines and training, 4 to 6 months plus. Any questions off the bat on these two? Great. So I'm going to start with the foster care and adoption to the state. And then the second part, I'll be going through the private adoption. So again, foster care, we'll start with this one on the left, the foster care. Some other terms to define that we'll be using. DCF is in the New Jersey Department of Children and Families. Previously, it was DCPMP, the Division of Child Protection and Permanency. And you guys probably also known it as DIFAS, Division of Youth and Family Services. You'll hear the term resource home or resource parent or resource family, and that's synonymous with a foster home or foster parents or foster family. Respite care. Respite care is a subset of fostering, and it's caring for a child for less than 3 weeks while the primary resource family is away or the state is looking for a more permanent home. We had an 8-day respite care where the family was going on vacation to Disney, but that would mean that the child would miss a court-ordered visit with bio mom, and bio mom didn't allow for the child to miss the visit, and so they had to leave him with someone, and they called us, and so we had a little boy for 8 days while they went on Disney, and they came back, the child goes back to the other foster care family. So that's what respite care is. Or again, if the state is looking for someone and they couldn't find a placement, it's like, can you take this child for a few days while we go and look for another home? You'll hear, I'll talk about in a little bit more later, the child acceptable form. This is a form that you fill out as part of the home study where you define what you're interested in taking in from a child in terms of the age range, the race or ethnicity, the gender, the number of children, in general, in foster care, are you open to sibling sets, any of the parental background issues that their parents have dealt with, any behavioral or emotional needs of the child that are known, and any special needs like certain doctor's visits or anything. So if those are known, you write down what you're willing to take in. So for instance, we were willing to take in children under 3 of any race or ethnicity, of any gender, up to 2 children. We were open to sibling sets. We were less concerned with some of the background. I wasn't okay. I don't like needles, so any child that needed an injection with needle, I said, no, thank you for that. And so they would use this when there's a child that would be taken from, well, I'll get into a little bit more later, but they would know whether or not they should call you with a child, depending on what you filled out with this. So I'll talk about, the child acceptable form a little bit more. Okay, for anyone who was here about 18 months ago when I gave this first overview in January 2025, at that point they were only open to families who are willing to check at least one of these boxes. Children with complex behavioral health, developmental or medical needs, teenagers, or sibling sets of 4 or more. So it was a high, high bar for it, and a lot of people at that point weren't willing to take one of these, understandably, and so they weren't able to at that point. However, they've relaxed those, and this is what the current website blurb says for what they're looking for in a resource family. Racially or culturally sensitive and open to accepting children from diverse backgrounds. Open to caring for children who have experienced trauma and often increased behavioral, mental health, or medical needs. Open to caring for sibling groups and maintaining connection with siblings who cannot be placed together. And willing to partner with DCPMP, the courts, the treatment team, community partners, and ideally the child's family to support reunification. So again, that last part, support reunification. The primary goal of foster care is to reunite the child with a option sometimes to be able to adopt later on. They often have very little information about the child when they go in and take the child. And so when they have behavioral or mental or medical needs, it's often a nurse's like first take on it. And so there's not often a lot known what they consider trauma. It's very little known. So we can talk more about that after. I do want to take a quick pause in terms of adoption. So everything I've been talking about so far is foster care. There are children available legally free for adoption right now. You can go to njadopt.org, and I have the website pulled up. There are 34 children as of right now, and you can take a look and browse this page and see. Many of them are either teenagers or have significant medical needs. But these are children that would be free to adopt and are legally free. And so the training for foster care or respite care or adoption through the state is all the same. And the steps to get there are all the same. And then at the end, if you wanted to adopt, you could then inquire. But these are the children that are legally free now. And unlike the other private adoption, which is very expensive, these would be free. So if you're interested, you can take a look there. I want to talk quickly about the licensing requirements for anything with the state for foster care or adoption. So the cost is free, other than any potential minor updates to your home, like smoke detectors or outlet covers or thing like that. Everything else is free. You'll attend an info session. There is 29 hours of training. That's math is wrong. It's 27. There are 9 3-hour sessions that you'll need to attend. The paperwork, there's financials, fingerprinting, police background checks, references, a recent physical from your doctor, and the child acceptable form is the paperwork, and then the home study where they're going to review all that paperwork. They're going to interview everyone from the house, plus check the physical safety of that house, age appropriate. For little kids, you need outlet covers, and like medication can be out of reach. For teenagers, the medication needs to be locked, and you don't need outlet covers, so that's what I mean by age appropriate. And then space requirements, and then waiting. You're never sure when you're going to get a call for a placement. I did want to talk about a few of the risks for foster care. So the goal of foster care is to reunite the child with their biological parents, as I mentioned. As of 2024, about 25% of children were ultimately adopted. And so in the majority of cases, they're going back home with bio parents or other family members. And so that's a risk. I did want to pause here. We'll talk about it a little bit in another slide. But fostering and adoption is hard. There's a lot of difficulties that go with it. But it's worth doing hard things for Jesus and the gospel at great cost. It's a little different for foster care because it is free from a financial perspective. I almost like the private adoption more, where there's a great cost. God paid a great cost to adopt us into his family. And so acting as children of God, it is a good thing that there's a great cost to this. And it's well worth it. Elaine and I have been through lots of different things. Other people in this room have been through lots of different things. But it's well worth it because of the child that you're ultimately getting to show the love of God to. So where was I with that? So these risks, it's hard, but it's worth it. If another family becomes available to foster the child while they're in your home. So initially they looked around, they found no one else to place with. And then grandma moves back from out of state, or she's like, you know what? I'm available now. The judge might deem that it's best for the child to move, into grandma's care, as an example. This seems to be the one exception to their first placement is the best placement rule. And so again, this is the risk. Things might be looking great. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, things take a turn and the child is reunited back with someone in their family. One other thing, children in placement cannot be homeschooled, and they're required to be in a 5-day daycare or schooling started at age 3. I think right in the beginning it can be half day, but it's still 5 days a week. And a religious school like ACA would need biological parent approval, and you'd be on the hook for paying for that. Any daycare or schooling or anything else is paid for if you use the ones that they provide. I have two potential conscience concerns that you guys should be aware of as well. So there's no corporal punishment allowed. This makes sense. If your children were ever taken from you and put in another person's home, you would not want them putting their hands on your child. And so they're not adopted. They're in foster care. And so discipline is things like timeouts, removal of privileges, things like that. That is just for the child in placement. That does not apply to your biological children. They prefer everyone's handled the same, but that's the official. It's just officially for the children in placement. And the second one, I've never run into this, but I did read it. And so as we are often at church, if the parents want the child to attend religious services that they choose, you would be obligated to do that. And at some age when they're conscious, we've only dealt with children too young to know this, but the bottom underline, you should not coerce or require a child in placement to participate in religious activities. So in theory, at some age, if they say, I don't want to go to church, you'd have to abide by that. I've wanted to give you a scenario of what a placement process might be of a semi-realistic scenario here. So DCF will be called due to a report of abuse or neglect. They'll show up, they'll deem that it's valid, and they will remove the child from that home. A nurse will be called out, and they'll do like very preliminary observation of the child and see if there's anything that they can determine. And then they're going to ask the bio parents they're taking from? Is there any family members or friends that we can call and try to place this child with? Assuming none of those work out, then they're going to use the child acceptable form to identify families who would be a good fit for this child. They're not going to go into the database and enter what they know about the child and see what families spit out. More like the resource family knows your family and knows what you're looking for, and therefore they say, they would be a good fit. So for instance, when Jacob was born, when Scarlett was born, she was going through withdrawal, and they said, okay, what families do we have that are willing to take a child and willing to go through withdrawal? And they knew that we were, and so that's why they gave us a call. Things like that. So DCF is going to call you and provide as much information as they have, age, gender, race, reason for removal, any known medical needs, but it's very limited at this point. And then you basically have an hour or two to decide if you're willing to take the child. During COVID, we got about 12 phone calls between the hours of 4:30 and 6, and it was like, can you take this child? So they've removed the child, and they're not going home with them that night, so they need somewhere now. And so often we got calls from Elena, like, hey, they have this kid, this is all I know. We prayed about it, and we said yes or no, and called back, and then they called back and said, yeah, yes or no. We said yes to most calls. There was one call during COVID. We had said, yes, we're willing to take children with COVID. And they gave us a call and said, we have an 18-year-old male from Newark who has COVID. Are you willing to take him? And we're like, we said three and under, so the 18-year-old's not going to work out for us. We're going to have to say no this time. So they might call you with things that are way outside of what you said on the child acceptable form. They're just looking to place a child. And so you are able to say no. Of course, the more often you say yes, the more likely they are to call you back. I think it was about 12 calls we got during COVID, and none of them panned out. They just needed someone to say yes, and then they found an aunt or an uncle or a grandma, and they're like parallel calling. Again, it's in the evening. They need a place for the child tonight, and yeah, the child's not going home with them. So there we go. So that's a placement process. Next steps. So if you are, I'd ask you to prayerfully consider if your family is being called to be a foster care family. If you are interested, you can fill out a pre-application form. I have a sheet up here with a QR code that you can scan. And once you fill it out, someone at DCF, Henry, will reach out to schedule an info session. Henry is a brother in the Lord. He's been to our church a couple times. The Sanctity of Life night, he was there in the back with me. And so it'll be a 1.5-hour-ish info session, and they're going to cover all the topics, and he'll be able to answer any questions even better than I can. Anything you want to add to that for the info session? Is it about an hour and a half?
It was like at a local library.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know if they have Zoom options or is it all in person now?
I don't think so.
No Zoom option? In person?
Okay. I think it's twice a month.
Twice a month?
It's like every other week.
Great. Yep. So reach out to Henry. You might be you, might be a couple families. Henry's a great guy, so you'll be in good hands with answering your questions. Okay, so that concludes my foster care overview. I want to switch now into the private adoption. So again, we're looking at the left side, and now we're going to look at the right side here. So private adoption is expensive. You're talking $30,000 to $50,000 more or more. You have your initial upfront cost, an application in a home study, a few thousand dollars, a portfolio, a few thousand dollars. At the time of matching, that's where the bulk of your price is coming in, $20,000 to $30,000. Also, there's probably legal fees at that point as well. The main variable here, each adoption agency is going to be different, but the a key variable is the birth mom living expenses. While there's no like paying for an adoption or paying for a child, you can pay for an appropriate amount of living expenses for the birth mom. Things like her rent and her food and some insurance, and I've heard like cell phone bills and some other things. And so this is from Helen, but she says, I guess you tell your agency how much you're comfortable with and how much the birth mom is wanting, and then if it's not going to line up, you're not going to be presented, because in private adoption, your case is being presented to a mom and they're picking you, as opposed to in foster care, the state's just calling who would be willing to take the child, so they're the one doing the matching. Post-placement, there's a few thousand dollars of fees, and yeah, some legal fees as well. Majority of the private adoptions are infants and children, or infants and babies, and it's more expensive, also some unknowns. Paperwork seems to be similar, background checks, home study questionnaire, references, medical releases, proof of medical insurance, proof of income. Timelines, a little bit less of training, 8 to 12 hours, a couple visits for home study, potentially more if anything needed to be fixed. Paperwork, profile creation, a lot of waiting. They say 2 months to 2 years or more. Again, because you're getting presented, not that you're guaranteed anything for foster care, but because you're being presented to birth moms, if they never selected your family, you might never get selected. Although, again, that's the same potential for foster care. And then the placement, the timeline depends on how far along birth mom is. You know, if she's earlier in pregnancy, when she chooses you, you'll have more time to wait, versus if she just gave birth or is imminent, then it would be less time. There's also this thing, I won't get into it now, but you can ask more questions. I just want to be aware. unlike foster care, so we adopted Scarlett when we were at that court hearing, like it was finalized at that point. Whereas with adoption, even though you might get the child in your care and you've adopted them, there's still like, I think there's 6 months of like a waiting time where they do like follow-ups to make sure everything is still cool, good with your home. I haven't heard anything of, I've never heard of it being rescinded during that time, but just know like you don't actually adopt them that day. It's often like 6 months in the future. So if you have more questions, you can talk after. A couple of risks that Helen wanted to call out here. In the case of an infant adoption, the birth mom can change their mind even after they've selected you, but before they surrender their rights. So the mom has 3 days after, in New Jersey, after they've given birth, to voluntarily surrender their rights. And some moms change their mind. They see their baby and they want to keep their baby. And so if you have paid any of those birth mom expenses, you've paid them to mom. Like you're on the hook for those. And some adoption agencies, depending on which one you choose and how it works, you might also be on the hook for some adoption agency costs that you can't get back as well. So this is certainly a risk there. Again, bullet point number three, there's no timelines are guaranteed and can often be over 2 years to match with the birth mom. And this is a great point that Helen brought out that I want to read here. In this process, you will be representing Christ to many people, most intimately the birth mom and birth family and your adopted child. Be sure not to take this responsibility lightly or go into the process with a sense of entitlement or heroism. And that's the same thing with foster care. These children do need parents, and we do need to show them the love of Jesus. But you're representing Christ. This is not for you. This is you loving the child. If you are interested, here are three Monmouth and Ocean County adoption agencies you can work with. The top one is who Amy Brown works for. She's been working there for over 20 years, so she's another great resource to ask questions to about private adoption. And here's some more in the state. We can provide these to you afterwards if you have questions. Remember that you're the one choosing the adoption agency, so you can call them. We'll go with next steps. So prayerfully consider if your family is being called to private adoption. You identify and select an adoption agency. Reach out, attend one of their info sessions. They can figure out, you can pick whatever one you want, and then you go get a home study. All right, that concludes the right half, the adoption part, and that's the education part. I want to move in, we're doing pretty good on time. I want to move into the adoption fund that we have and a LifeSong overview. So the Adoption Fund at Grace is available to financially assist families for private adoption for anyone who's been a member for at least a year. You have a recommendation from an elder, because that's one of the things we'll be sending to LifeSong, and you've completed a home study. That's partly to make sure that you're serious about it. It's a few grand. You have to do a lot of paperwork. So this is, everyone wants you to be over that hump to make sure that you're committed before we take any further steps. The church would then match the funds that your family would raise through LifeSong up to a certain amount, and it's dependent on the family. The reason we're choosing LifeSong is they're the one that's going to be doing the financial overview and recommending an amount, and then the church would confirm that, and that's what we would match. So I think I'll explain that a little bit better in these next few slides. So really quick, why are we choosing LifeSong? It's a small company. They've been open for over 20 years. They're currently working with hundreds of churches, thousands of families. They've helped place over 11,000 children into families, and they come recommended from many other churches who also have adoption funds. They're awesome. I talked to one of the top guys there. He gave me a couple hours of time. Fantastic. There's no fees for anyone because of their great donors, unless paying or donating via credit card. No, the church doesn't pay fees, donors don't pay, the adopting family, they've taken care of all the fees. They're the ones who are looking over the application, making a recommendation. This way, myself or any deacons at Grace don't have to look over all your finances. There's less administrative burden on our part. They have a much broader pool of people to compare how much people need and lots of years of experience with this. They've also experienced lots of situations. I know no situations, so we're just starting out if we were to do it in-house. And they have a free My Story crowdfunding tool and a guide and resources that will help you for fundraising. Again, that's less administrative burden and experience that we don't have at Grace. So how does it work? Once you have been home study approved, you'd reach out to them. Process takes 6 to 8 weeks. They receive 40 to 50 applications a month, so they're fairly busy. They're gonna spend 2 to 4 hours reviewing everyone's application, and they present a one-page recommendation to the church about everything that you should need to know about why they're recommending this. They're not going into your financial details, but they're giving you that overview. It's not about like, oh, you should be able to afford this. You have the amount of money in the bank account. They really look at your financial stewardship. So it's a cool, different approach to that. But they use a lot of different things in making the assessment, one being the elder recommendation, which is why I mentioned that earlier. And then the church confirms that amount for the family. From Grace, it's any money that you raise over, instead of it going back into their account, which some what some other might do. Any additional funds raised actually goes back into Grace's account for the next family, so that's pretty cool. And it also covers some post-adoptive services. So just a reminder, it's available to any Grace members with a recommendation from an elder, and you've completed a home study. So if that's you, you're welcome to reach out to me or Pastor Jack to get started on that. And so this is at the end here, other ways that you can help. So if you're not feeling called to be a foster care or adoptive parent, things you can do. You can pray for those who currently are or are considering doing it. If you want to give financially, you can give directly to our adoption fund or to a family. Wait for someone who has identified it. We haven't ironed out these details because no one's at this point yet. But once you've applied, have been approved by LifeSong, and been placed with a child, so that trifecta has not yet happened, my hope is that we present them to the church and ask the church for prayer for them, as well as if anyone would like to donate towards their fees. Donate towards that. And at that point, you can wait and give to them via LifeSong, and then the church would match that. Other ways you can help, providing meals. This has been a huge blessing to Elena and I whenever we have a new baby. The meal ministry is fantastic, and all the more this past time with Jacob. And so, yeah, making meals is a huge blessing to families with young children. If after that runs out, we had a few families even give meals afterwards, and yeah, huge blessing all around. So providing meals is huge. Babysitting, either to let the mom and dad go out and get some time alone, or even coming in the middle of the day to watch the children so the wife can care for the home. That has been tough if there's a new placement. If anyone's going to adopt or foster any children with special needs, we have the buddy ministry at Grace, and that would be where you would sit with the child during the service so that both parents could go sit under the teaching of God's word. And so it would be cool if you guys sent up for the buddy ministry, especially if there are going to be children who have special needs. We have an immediate needs ministry. This is a little vague in terms of like a formality. We have a sign-up list I'll put out here at the end. Anyone interested in getting on the email thread, when anyone, you know, DCF will call you and be like, we have this baby, can you take him? And you say yes. You might not have the size, clothes, or diapers or anything that you need, and they're coming in 30 minutes. And so this would pull together, probably not 30 minutes, probably a couple hours, but this would pull together, and we would email out, does anyone have this stuff? And we would collect it and get it to the family immediately so that they'd be ready when the child gets there. And then attend an adoption finalization court hearing. What does that look like? This is Lily's from a few years ago, 2 years ago, where the church came out to support. This is Ezra's, also from a little over a year ago, probably around a year ago. And if you guys don't know Amy Brown, that's Amy as well. And they've adopted it as well. And then just recently, this is Scarlett's adoption from a few weeks back. And this is cool because while we have modeled the gospel and sometimes shared the gospel with caseworkers, people have been in our house, and we've talked about loving Jesus in our church, it's kind of a vague thing. And then when they see tons of people show up, they understand that these people also love Jesus, and this is a cool opportunity for the gospel. The judge, in this case, had come from a really hard hearing just before ours, and yeah, we could kind of hear things going on in the courtroom. Things weren't great. She came in a little bit later, and she was floored by how many people. She said she's never had this many people in her courtroom, and we got to model the gospel and share that we love Jesus, and someone sang the doxology at the end, and we all joined in, and it was awesome, and it was a cool testimony for, again, to everyone who's the state workers who have seen us, but then these are the people that we go to church with and also love Jesus. All right, we are right at the end here. So a couple FAQs. Am I too old to foster or adopt? Maybe. Some adoption agencies have a maximum age, i.e. the combined age of the two parents is less than 100, but foster care does not have a maximum age specifically. There are plenty of examples of grandparent-aged couples signing up. There was a couple in our training that just wanted to do respite care, and they were both easily in their 60s. There's not too many young people in here. If there were any teenagers, I was going to call out that. Oh, the one. When Elena and I were dating, this is one of the things that we talked about. So am I too young to start thinking about it? I'd say no. If this is something that you're called to, then making sure this is a topic that you talk to your potential future spouse about, because this is a huge commitment. What about the biological family after an adoption? New Jersey is a closed adoption state, which means there's no legal obligation for you to maintain any contact with the biological family. We would hope that this is an opportunity for you to share the gospel, so we'd hope that you would want to continue this, but you get to decide what's best interest of your child. If they start to be a terrible influence, and whether they're using words or actions or whatnot, at a certain point you can say, you know what, this is not, we can't do this anymore. There's no legal, they can't go to the judge and say, hey, they agreed to twice a year visits and you're not doing it anymore. Other states have that, where it would be called an open adoption, and again, you agree on something before the judge and then they can hold you to that. There is not any of that in New Jersey, so we would hope that you'd want to do this, as it's an opportunity, more opportunity to share the gospel and model that for people, but you're not obligated to do that. And the last one, is my house big enough? Foster care specifically, I don't know all about adoption. They require at least 50 square feet in a bedroom and either a closet space or a dresser per child. I don't actually know if you like squeeze the rest of your children in another room, if it has to be 50 per kid. A little tight on, or I don't quite know those details, but I do know that every foster care child in placement needs at least 50 square feet and then a closet or dresser. And we are actually 3 minutes under time, so that was excellent for timing. Thank you guys for coming. Do you have any questions? And that was a lot. I just had to squeeze it into 40 minutes because that's how long Sunday school is. Most of this, I'll reiterate, most of this was to let you know about these things. And then we are fostering and have adopted. The Coopermans have recently fostered. So if there's any like licensing questions, they would be a great resource. The Rosses and the Browns, if you have private adoption questions, they're a great resource. If you have international adoption questions, Dale Drexler has adopted internationally, although it's been a couple of years. So there's resources available. If you have questions, you can bring them to me, and then I can find the right person to ask those subsequent questions to. Yes, Nick.
So for like older, but 5 to 10 years old, like adoption, is that still through private? Like for certain, let's say parents pass away, or like bad abusive situations, is that always through foster to adopt, or are there any immediate to adoption for like out of the infant birth mom range?
My guess is if both parents randomly died, they would probably naturally look for family to do that with. These children are, for foster care and adoption, there's an abuse or neglect is a reason that they were taken from the home. And then again, there's no family that's available to, and then that's why they're looking for someone that has no connection with that family.
Which is a very niche, rare case, so that it wouldn't really apply.
Yeah, so the 5 to 10 year olds, likely that's why they were removed. Unlikely it would be a true orphan in the sense of both parents have passed away. It's possible. Internationally, you have a more likelihood of getting that. Excuse me, for international though. Yeah, good question. Any other questions? Okay, well, if you are interested in fostering, you can scan this QR code or reach out to me later. If you're interested in private adoption, you can reach out to me or the Rosses for that list of private adoption agencies that you'd reach out to. But thank you guys so much for coming. Let me pray to close. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. That was a lot of information. I hope that the families here, what I said was clear. Would you please give wisdom to all of us in terms of how we can better further the gospel, further the kingdom of God through supporting foster care and adoption of these children who need a home. In whatever capacity that is, please give us wisdom and guidance. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth to pay the great price that needed to be paid so that God could adopt us into your family. We love you, Lord. Pray these things in your name. Amen.